We're back on track, and that's that time on this show, on a Thursday, to get our view from the north. Ow! Doing his thing for NBC Sports Northwest. Talking some Seahawks, some Ducks, the Blazers. I see they force him to join Justin Myers now. See what he's up to on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how's it going?
After
Hey, there he is. After that spectacular introduction, we had a glitch. have you been?
I've been great, man. You?
All right. So what, you lose a bet and they make you go on with Justin now on the bridge?
Yeah, as I was saying, but you couldn't hear me, was that they have a lot of dirt on me from back in the day. They're using as bribery and threats and all sorts of things to out me if I didn't go on TV with Justin. So it's pretty sad.
All right. So you've been traveling with the Seahawks. How hard did you pitch to make the trip to London?
I didn't even really try. I knew it would be a no.
All right. Well, I guess you could spend your energy better. I don't want to dwell on the ridiculous nature of the Bears and Dolphins game with Khalil Mack in there. The rookie Roquan Smith is coming on. You know, Trubisky still has those moments where you're like, oh, right, second year. But there's not really a great team in the NFC, and the only losses were that one in overtime and the misery opening week at Lambeau. For what you thought coming into the season, how you liking your Bears now five games in?
I'm cool with where they are. I still probably picked them to be maybe 9-7, even after getting Mac. I was not surprised at all they lost that game. I just felt like, yeah, they're 3-1. They're looking good. They're going to come out and lose at Miami. It was almost, because that's just the NFL, right?
Yep.
We lost a couple games. I think starting 3-0, and then the Bears are going to go in there and lose. And, you know, just random things happen in the NFL. Happened in that game, so I'm a little disappointed. Well, mainly disappointed in is defense, because if you're going to lose, let it still be the growth of Trubisky. He had a great game, 300 plus, three touchdowns, just one pick, and the defense let Brock Osweiler light them up, and that's disturbing.
Talking with Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. On a serious note, I mean, the local, the national, the international story, of course, the passing of Paul Allen. I mean, you're a longtime Portland guy. I mean, that man impacted the world, in our world, Blazers, Seahawks. Kind of what's been in the feel in your city about losing a guy I would just refer to as a man of magnitude?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been overwhelmingly sad and then positive feelings about what he's been to Portland and how good of an owner he's been with the Blazers, and especially with the Seahawks as well. He basically became the Seahawks, obviously.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, owners go, I mean, they're all billionaires, they're all eccentric, they're all, you know, hit or miss in terms of what they do in and around and being an owner, but I would say it would have to be pretty clear that Paul Allen definitely falls on the positive side of what an owner can or cannot do in terms of having an impact on the sports landscape in the city. I mean, I think he was a guy who never allowed, well, I would say never. I mean, he rarely allowed money to get in the way of trying to put the best team out there as possible. I mean, he wasn't going to eat $45 million a couple years ago in luxury tax for the Allen credit. Aside from that, you know, he's always, you know, basically operated like a guy who knew he couldn't take it with him, you know, for lack of a better phrase. And what he did with the Seahawks, you know, keeping them from moving and then building a new stadium, the new state-of-the-art practice facility out there on the lake in Renton. He's done a lot of great things. I just wish he would have purchased a baseball team and brought it to Portland. That would have been the last thing he could have done.
You know, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I just thought when you think of him as an owner, it's really rare. I mean, you could disagree with a move, but I think his heart was always in the right place.
Exactly.
Yeah, I threw up a poll on Twitter today. It was a hypothetical. It's about the Blazers. Say they do it again. You know, they win 44, 45 games, sneak into the playoffs, get run. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with ownership. You think a year from now that there'll be a shakeup? You know, will McCollum be gone, Olshay, Terry Stotts? I mean, how big of a year is this, even under minimal expectations?
Yeah, I think these next 2 years are critical. Lillard has three remaining on his contract. So if you don't find a way to win, or I shouldn't say win, because I don't think they're going to win or contend necessarily the way they are. If you don't find a way to land another name, another legit player, then I think they're going to leave. I mean, maybe in a situation where they just say, you know, screw it, we can't. This around him, he's 30. Let's trade him and the young players will start over. So that's why I advocated Blake, Kevin Love, anyone you can get that can be just a third guy. I mean, heck, Jimmy Butler, if he's disgruntled, it means we have to with him. Because at the end of the day, it's not only about trying to be a player in the West, it's about trying to make the team attractive enough for Dame to stay. Because I believe once he gets around 30, he's going to recognize his immortality and that his prime is ticking away and that he's got nowhere to win a title and that he's going to want out. I think the Blazers will accommodate him.
You'll be at Lakers-Blazers tonight. We all know what a huge supporter you were when Durant decided to leave OKC for Golden State. But, you know,
I seem to have a tweet a day about that, don't I?
Yeah. I see this like 23 years from now. You'll be like, I'm still not recovered. That 2016 move was bull, man. So the
I'll be tweeting at his kid. Was your dad? Your dad sucks now.
Yeah. So LeBron left the East, which he owned. He landed in L.A. You know, he wants to become the first superstar to lead a third team to a title. So what was your take on this and what he might accomplish even this year or even moving forward in L.A.?
Seems like a no-brainer. He went back to Cleveland, brought him a title, which I think he'll always be better for. And clearly the negativity toward him leaving for L.A. was really almost non-existent.
Yep.
I didn't really see very many people freaking out at all. Unlike the last time when they were, of course, wearing his jersey. Yeah, talking about him like a dog, which was pretty well deserved, I thought, for the most part. But I think he's taking out huge challenge off the court. Clearly, he's got some things going on off the court. I don't think he chooses this team, per se, the way the roster is treated anywhere else in the world other than it being in L.A. He went to the Lakers. He didn't go to this team. But I think they do have an attractive young nucleus of guys, and they have a boatload of cap space. They have a bunch of veterans with 1 year deals, and it's a hand picked veteran team that LeBron was involved in picking. You know, everyone, Rondo and retaining Caldwell Pope, and then going out and getting Stevenson and Beasley and McGee. I mean, it's almost like the land of misfit toys, but they're all veteran guys who can play D, and they're not. World beaters, but they're good players, and Rondo has titles. And then you mix that with the young athletic guys they have, and Ingram and Ball, who I think Ball is going to be pretty darn good, and then Kuzma, who can shoot it. You have a pretty darn good team. I think that team's better than the Cleveland team you just went to the finals with. I don't think they're going to go to the finals in the West because obviously Golden State has stacked their roster beyond belief because Kevin Durant's a coward. But I think I honestly believe that the Lakers are going to be the second best team in the West. But come April, when the playoffs start, they're going to be the second best team.
Whoa, good call. We're going to. Right, 4-15, 10-18, 18. Fentress, second best team in the West. In football, you've been monitoring kind of the Oregon players at the NFL level. And for some reason, the last 2 weeks, people are asking us a lot about Marcus. You know, he got sacked 11 times last week.
11 times.
His performance and the team against the Bills. But how difficult is it to make a blanket statement? I mean, about what's on him, the team, the offensive line. There's a lot of bad moving parts there.
Well, let's see. The running game is still bad. It was bad last year. It was two years ago under Mularkey when they won the run heavy and get a power running game going, which produced actually Mario's best season. I think he was 26 touchdowns, maybe only 9 interceptions or something like that. And they were doing really well until he broke his leg at the end of the year. Well, last year, he was coming back from that. And the running game wasn't there. Now this year, the running game's still not bad. They're averaging 3.7 yards per carry as a team, or Henry's averaging around 3.5. The receivers are relatively pedestrian. They lost Delanie Walker. You know, they're all-pro, Pro Bowl tight end, which definitely kills Mario because those two had a great connection.
Yep.
Then you factor, you know, the offensive line is solid, but clearly they looked abysmal the other day. So I watched that game. I watched every play, every snap Mario that took, and I didn't see many examples of situations where he had open guys and just couldn't get rid of the ball in time before he got sacked. He did miss Taiwan Walker on a deep ball down the middle. We over. I was on Mariota. You're your fourth or your third coach in 4 years. That's never good. Period. Like, I don't care who you are. You do that to a quarterback, and then you change receiving corps, and you shuffle this and shuffle that, and you're going to have trouble. So I think Marcus hasn't been great. But I don't think it's his fault that they're struggling right now.
One last thought about the Ducks. And we know they played like the softest non-conference schedule almost ever. The gut punch home loss to Stanford. But, man, to see him bounce back, win a road game, and then last week's wild win against the Huskies. So with what you've been able to watch, what's kind of popping under Coach Cristobal that makes you think, yeah, the graph's pointing up and they might actually win the North this year.
You know, they got a shot. I pretty much lastly settled on them winning the Washington game because I felt like they were going to get some good juju. I don't know if you saw them talking Ducks, and I even wrote about it. I was like, you know what? You take all the comparisons and stats and things like that. It's a really close game. I just felt like it was going to be like in reverse, and they did get fortunate with that missed field goal by Stanford. I still can't believe that guy missed that. I still can't believe they didn't get the ball in the middle of the field for that guy. So that was some good luck. They capitalized and ran it down his throat. So good for them. But I do not believe this is clearly the favorite to run the table or anything like that. I think this week at Washington is going to be extremely difficult. They are spinning the ball all over the field, and they get rid of the ball quickly, so they're tough to get pressure on the quarterback. And then you got at Utah, which is going to be tough, and still at Arizona. So I think this is a team that is good but dominant, and I would be shocked if they did not lose the game at some point this season.
All right, folks, he's Aaron Fentress of NBC Sports Northwest on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, enjoy your weekend. Always appreciate your time.
All right, man, take care. Bye.
Take it easy.